Good morning, and as we begin our worship time together this Sunday, May 10th, 2020, let the church be called to worship through the words of Psalm 57, verses 9 through 11. It is as follows. I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples. For great is your love reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we are grateful that your love indeed reaches to the heavens, but also reaches down into each one of our individual hearts, that you have transformed us and labeled us as your children, destined to spend eternity with you. Father, this morning, as we gather for a time of worship, help us to fully incline our hearts to you. Help us to sing praises to your holy name. Fill us, O Lord, with your Spirit, so that we can be a manifestation of you and your love to a world that desperately needs to know you. We thank you, Father. We praise you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. It is, as I mentioned, Sunday, May 10th. Hopefully, many of you know this more as Mother's Day. And this is going to be a rather untraditional Mother's Day for so many of us as we don't have our normal traditions to fall back upon of going and visiting, perhaps, or going and taking folks out to a sit-down meal for brunch. We're going to have to do things a little bit differently, but we can start our day with worship. And so I'm glad that you are here with us this morning, and I pray that you will be filled with the love for your mother as well as for your Heavenly Father today. I want to give you all a little bit of an update on our worship services. As we've discussed over the last couple of weeks, it is unlikely that we will have in-person services during the month of May. However, hopefully what we will do is then start up June the 7th with two services. We'll do that for the purposes of reducing the number of people that are in any one service, allowing us to space things out, looking at probably a 9 and 11 service. Unfortunately, we will have to continue to limit activities like hugs and handshakes. We may have to limit our singing as well. Maybe we have one person doing singing, but we will not be doing congregational singing for a while as well. And we'll be looking into other hygiene issues, such as whether or not we should be having folks come to church wearing masks and things along those lines. We got a lot to figure out. And we also need to recognize during this time, it is a rather fluid process. As the state of South Carolina opens up and as our own little home community of Dufusky begins to receive more and more visitors during the next couple of weeks, we do need to keep an eye out for how everybody responds to this virus. Right now, we are certainly looking like we are on a plateau, if not a slight decline in the number of new cases. But if there is for some reason a spike in new cases because our attempts to open up take their toll, then we may have to revisit our plans. So understand that those are what we would like to do, and it may be that that is not what we can do, so we'll just have to play that one by ear. I do want to let you all know that we are grateful for all that you have done to help with our benevolence ministries. It seems as though we've been able to meet the needs of those in our community with our food pantry and with our Good Neighbor Fund, and we couldn't have done that without your giving to us, and I am grateful for that. At the same time, I do want to remind you that in addition to our benevolence ministries, we have the regular operations of the church. And so any giving that you continue to do there is greatly appreciated as well. The church's website, www.fuabchurch.org, has a giving page on it. So you can please go to that and review your options for giving to the church, even while we don't have a collection plate passed in front of you. Finally, a couple of other points about summer activities we had planned. Vacation Bible School scheduled for June 22nd through 26th. We're still hoping to have that. Again, we're going to have to play that one by ear, but our intention is to still have a program available for kids from 9 to noon, Monday through Friday, learning about the Lord and just celebrating being able to be with one another. So if that is something you'd like to volunteer to help out with, we'd love to hear from you. Otherwise, just put it on your calendars and know that the kids are going to be welcome to that. Additionally, we had a church anniversary celebration planned for June the 28th, that Sunday immediately after VBS. It is usually a festive time. We're bringing in lots of people, and we have a wonderful turnout in years past. that may not be an option this year. And so we're going to have to revisit that one as well. I wish that were not the case, but it is. And so we're going to have to play that one by ear as well. It is worth noting that Defusky Day, which is a celebration on the island that is usually the Saturday preceding our church anniversary, has been canceled this year. And so to the extent that that impacts the ability to get people to our service as well, again, like so many other things, we're just going to have to play it by ear, take it all into consideration, and see how it goes. In the meantime, we just need to continue to keep our eyes focused on Christ. As we move along, one of the things that I have encouraged you to do as members of our church is to continue in your routine of prayer for one another. And along those lines, I want to ask that you would continue to be in prayer for Jeff Garwood's mother. She has continued to make progress in the hospital, but still is in need of prayer. I also want to ask you to be in prayer for those members of our church family and our church members' family members who are isolated right now in assisted living. As the restrictions get lifted, they are still in the most lockdown of positions, and it's so difficult for them. They're feeling the strain of isolation, and so we need to be lifting them up in prayer. And also, I want to ask you to be in constant prayer for our leaders. I don't care if you voted for them or not. They are the people that God has put in power. And they need wisdom, and they need discernment, because the decisions that they make will impact all of us. And so I would ask that you simply be in prayer for them, that God would grant them the ability to make the best decisions for us. And having gotten through all of that, I'd ask that we move forward and get to our reading for today. And our reading is from Proverbs. It is one of our, perhaps, best-known Proverbs in terms of talking about the wonderful works of women in our lives. It comes from Proverbs 31, and here it is. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. She considers a field and buys it out of her earnings. She plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hands, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes covering for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gates. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. And as we move along from there and to our message for today, I would ask that you please all just pray with me as we prepare our hearts and minds for this message. Lord, I pray that you would just take my lips now and speak through them, that you would take our minds and think through them, and take our hearts, Father, and set them on fire with a love for your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, as we begin this message, I'd like to see if we can start out with a few points of mutual agreement for us all. Can we all first and foremost agree that it is not the purpose of the Bible to teach us how to accumulate wealth and power? For the Bible says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but to lose his soul? And similarly, can we all agree that it is not the aim of the Bible to teach us how to have our best life now, our most comfortable life now. For the prophet Isaiah pokes fun at that notion when he says, "Let us eat and drink, you say, for tomorrow we die." There are definitely people throughout the Bible, characters mentioned in there, who accumulate vast amounts of wealth, tremendous power. And there are certainly those in scriptures who never lack for food or drink or any other manner of comfort for that matter. And frankly, over the centuries, there have been many preachers in time who have preached a gospel that we know is the prosperity gospel, that your faithfulness will play out in a life of comfort and ease and blessings. But that's not the biblical view. And because that is not, we have to focus on what is the biblical view. And perhaps we can all agree on that. For Jesus says that he did not come for any other reason so that we could have life and have it abundantly. And so that when we live our lives in keeping with God's purpose, we will have the fullest life that we can have here on earth. But more importantly, we will be assured of an eternal life in the presence of our Heavenly Father. And if that is the purpose of the Bible, then that should be our understanding of what we are called to do. And that's important because as we look at Mother's Day, being this day that we're celebrating today, we need to understand that there is a worldly view of what good mothering looks like, and there is a biblical view of what good mothering looks like. Now, the worldly approach would tell us that as the child is born, does that child have good food to eat? Do they have a safe car seat? Do they have a good stroller? Are they raised up in the ways of the Lord? Do they have an opportunity to be fed on a regular schedule? Are they potty trained? Are they sleeping through the night? Are they exposed to good learning opportunities? And as that child grows up, is the mother continuing to nurture them so that as they grow, they're able to go out and get the best education possible, get a good job, ultimately be able to provide for themselves? Are they able to get married themselves and have grandkids? The ultimate sign of whether or not one was successful as a mother in this world, I guess, is whether or not there are good grandkids. And oh, by the way, can your kids then provide for you? These are the things that the world looks like, and if your child has grown up and able to do all of those things, you would be deemed to be a successful mother. But that's not quite the way the Bible looks at motherhood. It's wonderful if all those things happen, but the ultimate objective of motherhood, according to Scripture, is that the children are raised up and ultimately become those disciples that the Great Commission calls us to go therefore and make. Our children are our first mission field, and therefore our success as parents, a success as a mother, is whether or not we are able to raise up our children in the ways of the Lord so that when they grow old, they will not depart from it. So this Mother's Day, although I read this wonderful passage in Scripture about the noble wife, the reality is that that is such an awe-inspiring list of things that that woman does that it can become easy to be discouraged when you read about all that this woman has done. It's setting the bar of perfection way up high. And we know as sinners that none of us are perfect. For we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And when we hold ourselves up to that image of this noble wife and all that she does, there are many women who would give up before they even start. So high is that mountain. But the reality is there are a smaller list of characteristics that we need to focus on. And for that reason, I want us to focus on the example set by a woman named Eunice. And we first learn about Eunice when we read in Acts chapter 16, verse 1, the account of Paul going to Derbe and then Lystra, where he meets a disciple named Timothy. Timothy, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. I point this out because it brings home a truth that remains true today. The first time we hear about Eunice, the only way that we understand her, the only way that we identify her, is as Timothy's mother. I remember when Jan and I first had children, and It was remarkable. As soon as Jordan started going to school, we lost our identities completely. We were no longer known as Aaron or Jan. We were known as Jordan's mom or dad. And that was the way it was. There was no way around it. And I am a little bit ashamed to admit that for a good long while, there were a number of other parents at that elementary school whose real names I didn't know. I simply knew them as so-and-so's parent. Ultimately, I got to know their names, but the reality is, when you have children, at some point, you're going to be known as that child's mother or father. Don't get lost in the silliness of that fact, because it underscores a greater reality, and that is this. God willing, our children are going to outlive us. And the greatest legacy we leave for them is how they will live their lives when we are gone. Did we do a good job in raising them up? Did we raise them up in the Lord? What proves that is how they handled themselves after we are gone. And so to be identified as their parent really demonstrates the reality that we will be judged on how our children do. That is the legacy. And so we need to embrace that. We need to understand that what that shows is something that we see with Mary being entrusted to raise Jesus and Eunice being entrusted to raise Timothy. We, as parents and mothers specifically, have been entrusted with their children. Motherhood is stewardship. How you do as a mother will forever be associated with how your children do. And we need to embrace that. And when we embrace that, we understand the true responsibility that comes with motherhood. It comes with sacrifice. It comes with investing yourself in the lives of your children. It comes with making those choices, those hard choices about what is fun to do versus what is right to do. And unfortunately, in my position as pastor, I've seen instances where mothers have chosen to neglect that responsibility, where they have instead chosen to do that which was fun and best for them and not for their children. And it causes great harm. To raise a child right is an act of tremendous selflessness. The second thing we learn about Eunice, I would suggest the more important thing, we learn from Paul's letter to Timothy, the second letter, where Paul writes this in the first chapter, "Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." So Acts 16 introduces us to Eunice as Timothy's mother, but 2 Timothy introduces us to Eunice for her great legacy. It is the fact that she has taken her sincere faith, the sincere faith that she has received from her mother, and she has passed it along to Timothy. And as we combine these two verses, the verses from Acts chapter 16 with this, we realize that Acts 16 refers to Timothy's father as being a Greek, whereas Eunice is referred to as a Jewish believer. Being left unsaid is that it is likely that Timothy's father was not a believer, and therefore it fell completely upon Eunice to instill a faith in Jesus Christ in her son. This is the most critical point. She could have been the best mother by all human standards. She could have made sure that she had the absolute best car seat available, that the stroller that she had lined up was top-notch. She could have made sure that the food that Timothy was being fed had the highest possible nutritional content, and all the toys that little baby Timothy had were the ones designed for neurological stimulation to get little Timothy growing up to be the best he could be. She could have made sure that he had the best teachers, the best tutors, the best schooling. She could have spent her entire afternoons chasing little Timothy around, making sure that he got into all of the different after-school programs and opportunities that were going to further his abilities. She could have made sure that he was potty trained when he was supposed to be, if not earlier, sleeping through the night in a few months, She could have made sure that little Timothy always had food at just the right time, tucked into bed at the same nighttime. She could have given up everything that she had. She could have scraped up every penny to provide him with every opportunity. And when it came time for school, she could have sacrificed all that was necessary to get him into the best colleges and universities. She could have loved him through all of the rebellious years, his puberty and teenage years. She could have, in many ways, done everything that we would say were the greatest sacrifices that mothers could ever possibly make for their kids. And yet, if she hadn't raised Timothy up to know the Lord, she would have left out that one piece, that one thing that God holds so critical, helping to make a disciple of the child that she had been entrusted with. We don't really know how Eunice did with all of those other facets of motherhood. We don't know if Timothy had plenty or hardly anything at all. We don't know if he was raised in a home with strict discipline. We don't have those details. But we have that most important detail, and that is that Eunice passed along her faith to her son Timothy. She helped to make him a disciple so that he could then go out and make disciples of others as well. Being a church planter, nurtured and mentored by Paul to do wonderful things to further the work of the church. Ultimately, we have to recognize that it is God who is the one who makes things grow. God took the seed of faith in Timothy and grew it into a fruitful plant. But it was Eunice's job to plant that seed, to water that seed, to pluck up all of the weeds that would grow up in attempts to choke off that seed. That was the work that Eunice did. That was how she invested herself into her son. And it bore fruit. Mothers, your greatest responsibility in raising up your children is to plant that seed of faith in your children. To do whatever you can to nurture it along, realizing that it is always God's responsibility to cause it to grow. So do that, whatever you can, however you can. I know that there are some mothers that are watching this right now, that have been listening to this, who are breathing a sigh of relief because that's what they've done in their lives. They have poured themselves into their children. They've got children now who are professing believers in Jesus Christ and their lives are bearing fruit. To you, I say, well done. For those of you out there as mothers who are feeling like that hasn't happened yet, I want to encourage you to continue to love your children. Take every opportunity that you have to liberally throw out those seeds of faith. Do what you can to plant them. Love them the best that you can. Understanding again that whether or not something grows is not up to you. But you are called to love them and to keep sharing the faith with them, providing those opportunities for God to work in their hearts. I know that some of you out there don't have kids. Some of you may have had kids who have passed away and you no longer have the opportunity to plant those seeds of faith. I want to encourage you to continue to plant seeds anyway, wherever you can. A child doesn't have to come out of your womb in order for that child to be a child of yours spiritually. You can plant seeds of faith wherever you are so that someday in heaven you may be greeted by one who didn't come out of you naturally, but is there as a result of the work that you did spiritually. So embrace that. I want to pass along this final thought. There is a commandment that says we are to honor our fathers and our mothers. Let's focus on the mother side of this thing. It really doesn't matter what your relationship has been with your mother to this point. You all have mothers. You all came out of a mother. Understand that that woman went through 9 months of difficulty and hardship, culminating in moments of excruciating pain, so that you could have physical birth. Without physical birth, it's awfully difficult to have the spiritual rebirth that we're called to have. And so we need to be grateful to our mothers. When that commandment came out to honor our mother and our father, It is unconditional. It doesn't say if they were good parents, we should honor them. If your mother was a great mother who always had a snack waiting for you after school, honor her. It says simply honor. We have this day, Mother's Day, a Hallmark creation, if you will, where there's this one Sunday a year on the calendar that says that we should honor our mothers. God didn't give us a day to honor our mothers. He simply said, do it. And it was a commandment with a promise that if we would honor our mother and our fathers, that it would go well for us here. And so I want to encourage all of you out there, take this time, take this day, and honor your mother however you can. As I mentioned earlier on, this may be the Mother's Day where you can't do what you normally did to honor your mother. It may be one of those days where you can't go and take her out to lunch because you can't get together. But you can call her. Call your mothers. Tell them that you love them. Tell them that you're thankful that they brought you into this world. Do what God commands us to do to honor them. And for all you mothers out there, continue to model your faith in Christ to your children and to those around you. Understand that your ultimate reward from being a mother will not come in this world. Your ultimate reward will be that day when you find yourself in heaven and your child walks up to you grateful that they can embrace an eternity worshiping Christ in God's kingdom with you, and know that that joy may be compounded when someone you didn't give birth to also then comes up to you and thanks you for being their spiritual mother. When you do that, you will see that you have fulfilled that great commission, that you indeed have gone out and made disciples among all nations. You will have fulfilled the greatest mark of success that God has for you as a mother, that you helped lead others into God's family and not just your own. So to all of you mothers, I say happy Mother's Day, and may all glory be to God. Amen. Father, I thank you for this day of worship. I thank you for Mother's Day, for the gift of all those mothers who have given so much so that we can have the best possible life here in this world, but also be set to know you forever and to worship you in glory in your kingdom. Father, I lift up to you all the mothers and I ask for a special blessing upon them this day. But I pray that you would give us all as children a deeper yearning to honor our fathers and our mothers every day in according with your commandments. And Father, we thank you and we praise you as the most important father figure of all. Help us to go forth and worship. Help us to go forth and serve. Help us to go forth and proclaim glory, honor, and praise due to your name and your name alone. And may we do it in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.